You're listening to Beer Machine, a War Machine and Hordes podcast that talks about the Buffalo, New York meta, new releases, the hobby aspect, and a beer pairing. Beer Machine is brought to you by Buffalo War Machine, a quickly growing local meta, which you can check out at facebook.com/Buffalo War Machine. Welcome to Beer Machine, episode 3. We don't have a subtitle because we don't have a guest this week. Yeah.
You mean this month?
I'm sorry, this month. Quick apology, we kind of skipped a month.
Life happens.
Scheduling conflicts.
Yeah, scheduling three adults is kind of hard. So, whatever. We're going to try and do it more often because we really like it and we've gotten very good feedback. So, we're just going to keep going. First off, huge, huge congratulations. Our co-host, Adam, is now a press ganger.
Woo!
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. He's pretty excited. Speech?
I just hope to do well. I've got big shoes to fill.
This is true.
That is true.
Yeah.
Speaking of the biggest of shoes to fill, our press ganger, Charles, is no longer in Buffalo, and he's not our press ganger anymore. Why?
I think he's the new executive coordinator. I think it's his official title.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that, though.
I don't remember exactly what it is.
That's what it is.
But our former press ganger now works for the company who makes the game that we love.
I thought he was Hungerford's number two.
Essentially he is, but I think his actual title is executive coordinator.
He is living the dream.
Yeah.
You know?
Good for him.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
Charles, you'll be missed.
Pandas and elves all around.
I know, right? I should do a painting of a panda high-fiving an elf.
You should just do a painting of a Nis and the picture of him next to it.
Nis mounted on panda.
Have them playing something like Legos or something like that. And it's like, you do play with elves.
Did I tell you I'm doing, when Borka riding a bear comes out, I'm painting it like a panda?
You should.
Yeah.
I want to get my Outriders as a bear calf and turn them into pandas.
Nice.
I'm gonna model my my flame burners into something useful.
Oh yeah, how do you do that?
Yeah, that's called not playing them.
You give them a ranged weapon.
Yeah, you make them blazers.
Just green stuff a bolter onto them. So let's see here. Up first, we have the beer pairing. There's a brewery. It's called Ellicottville Brewing Company in Ellicottville, New York. For those of you who've never been there. Ellicottville is south of Buffalo, about an hour.
Ski country.
Yeah, serious ski country. Holiday Valley and a couple other resorts are there.
Kissing Bridge.
Yeah, Polymer. Kissing Bridge, that's right. Little ski town, kind of quiet. Wintertime, it gets a little bit more crowded because all the skiers are around. And here's a description. Stainless Steel Obsession is the name of the beer. It's an IPA. Stuffed with hops, this flagship IPA pays homage to the material all beer is born in, stainless steel. Combining a traditional pale malt bill with a modern and aggressive hop profile, this new age American IPA is carrying EBC into the future. Apparently it's a time machine.
Yeah, but I like it a lot.
Sure.
I remember when they first released it, I was boarding down in Holiday Valley and had it after. It was really good.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic IPA. Definitely American IPA.
It's got a very hoppy aroma.
JP said something accurate.
He's been brushing up.
Yeah, I think we're starting to school him a little bit.
They're lying. I went to a website that looked up beer buzzwords.
It's like a beer buzzword generator. You just click it and
was,
it just,
yeah.
And that's like, awesome.
Aroma and IPA. Okay, I'll use those. Hoppy? Okay, got it.
Perfect. Stainless Steel Obsession is going to be paired with Steelhead. Now, I don't think I know all of them. Halberdiers, Rifleman. They have some kind of cav.
Yep.
Right?
Cavalry, yeah.
And Damiano.
And Stannis Brocker.
Oh, yeah. Right. I have never seen Damiano's card, and I looked at it, and he looks like some kind of reject from the Spanish Inquisition.
He's stylish, dude.
Stylish. That's what they call it now, huh?
He's cool, man. I think he's cool. I like him. I think he looks cool.
All right.
A lot of people like him.
He's cool, like, playing-wise. He's got style, too.
No. I agree with you on that. It just looks...
Steelhead heavy cav.
It's heavy cav?
Oh, yeah.
Let me guess. Signar, Kador, and Menoth.
Probably. Yes. Crix, Signar, Kador, and Protectorate.
Wow.
They're pretty good. They get flanked with halberdiers. They got assault, backswing, and brutal charge.
I just wish I could
take and reach all the time. My Kador cav lose reach when not charging.
I just wish I could take an attendant priest with them. Then I would totally buy them in a heartbeat.
You can't?
No. You can only take attendant priest with medium and small based.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it wouldn't work. Because if it did, giving them Pathfinder and no targeting by spells and
I bet you that's
weapons. Oh my god, that'd be so great.
I bet that's why that rule exists.
Probably.
Oh, probably.
We only have a couple Merc players in the Buffalo area. Dave Aiken.
Adam.
Adam.
I'm dabbling.
Adam.
I won the Food Machine Army, which was Mercs this year, and I've been playing around with Drake and Ashlyn.
He owns them and builds them up, but he doesn't really play them.
I try to rotate. I'm going to rotate into a new faction, hopefully by October.
Hopefully not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind. I need practice.
Yeah, we don't have a really, you know, ever since Kevin left, we don't really have a hardcore Crix player, so.
Yeah, Kevin.
Yeah.
Anytime you want to, you know.
Come back.
I'm still.
Come back, we'd appreciate it.
Filling those shoes, especially with the new Gore Shade coming out. It looks like a lot of fun.
Gore Shade. What's this one? Gore Shade the Bastard?
No, the Ruin. No,
the first one.
Lord I'm sorry, Gore Shade the Bastard, Gore Shade Lord of Ruin. Is there a third one?
That is the third
one. Oh, that is the third one.
Gore Shade the Bastard, the Cursed, and the Ruin.
I'm hoping for Gore Shade the Motherfucker. Totally paint him black like Samuel Jackson.
Yeah.
His feet turn, though, is pretty nasty.
Crix, like, motherfucker! You speak it?
You run a Bile Thrall up and right next to their caster and freeze them.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, okay, now we'll just...
Not out of formation anymore, though.
Doesn't matter.
No, no.
His feet is... you kill models in your... It has to be a friendly faction, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they...
Non-friendly, non-warcaster warrior model.
They do a 3-inch AoE, and everything under the AoE is frozen.
Gotcha. Or yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Become stationary.
Stationary, yeah.
Let's see. Next up, we have... new models we're using. Adam can go first because he has the shortest list.
Yeah, the only thing new I've been supplementing into lists is I've been trying proxying Beast Mistress into some lists.
Really?
Yeah, I actually have her in a P. Lilith list that I really like. I'm able to hand out six tenacities across my Hex Hunters that run and engage stuff. It's pretty good.
She is the Oprah Winfrey of tenacity.
Yeah, and I mean, I use the Beast Mistress and the Shredders as a meat shield almost, a block line of sight to Lilith.
Okay.
Also, the ability to have an extra magical attack in the list is handy. So I can energize and then cast Blood Rain. So magical AoE, everything's corroded, so against heavy armor lists.
She's Fury 4?
Yeah.
Beast Mistress?
So like, you could energize for one, essentially move her six, or she moves six, energize her for one, and then cast it. At range 8, so.
Cool.
But, yeah, it's come in handy when I've been proxying it. I played it against Rich's one list, and I took out, what, half your army?
I don't know if it was that much.
It was pretty much almost half to all three units.
Yeah. All right,
between Pincushion, Sprays, yeah. Typhon, and the Beast Mistress.
Yeah, Typhon's a dick.
Typhon is a dick, dude. Hyper Regen is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Pretty good strategy against
I gotta make a note to hit him with something with Grievous Wounds first, you know?
Yeah.
Shut down his bullshit.
Yeah, run.
That's if your assassin, Mage Hunter Assassin, could hit.
Yeah, yeah, really. He's what, defense 11?
Yeah.
Oh, but man.
He still miss with needing a 4.
I only need a 5.
Four. As the opponent, there's no greater feeling in the world than when the Mage Hunter Assassin misses, you're just like, oh my god!
This is the greatest thing. Or not, it's not great, but... When I line up the Mage Hunter Assassin and she charges something, and you can just see the other person, they're starting to get visibly worried because you know if she hits, she's gonna nail the thing out of the park.
Yeah.
And then whiff and that's it.
You watch the slump in their shoulders go away.
they just kinda have this
man, this isn't that bad.
Yeah. Speaking of new models I'm using. Ilara, Tiro of the Third Chamber, which is some kind of title they just made up. It's a new thing. I've been running her a little differently, running her with Assyria, and having her battle group consist only of a Griffin or an Aspis. I tried the Aspis a few times.
Is that the one with Shield Guard?
Yeah, that's the one. It was Shield Guard and Beatback. It's different, I think, and I think that's why I kind of like it, because she has an upkeep that gives everything in her battle group counter charge. And you park that slightly past Assyria, so if anything does get close, it's going to eat two charges. And it just, it functions as a deterrent. And I think it's, you know, for 7 points, I think it's worth it. Besides that, she's nothing crazy. I mean, you bring her anywhere remotely near anything that's going to cause damage and she dies. So it's...
Plus, you can use her to just cast Conviction, which is awesome.
That's sarcasm, folks.
That is sarcasm to the nth degree.
Convection?
Convection. Yeah. It's a...
It makes me think of a convection oven.
It's a POW, you know? 12 on a 4-focus caster. I mean, that was the... I kind of question that spell, like... That just seems like it was a throwaway. They're like, well, we gave her one good one, so we'll give her one that's complete utter garbage and would never be used because she's focused four.
Yeah.
So even on 12s, she's going to have to boost a hit, right? So it costs her 2 to buy the spell. Costs her 1 to hit. And then in order for her to allocate a focus, she has to...
Has to cause damage.
Has to cause damage. And it's a 12. So in most cases, you're going to boost damage as well. So you drop her entire load just to be able to allocate one to a jack?
Whoa.
Yeah. Seems dumb as hell. Like,
who I don't really understand. Yeah. I think it might be entertaining to run a Hydra with her because Hydras keep focus on them.
Right.
That's
not a bad idea.
I don't know. It's an idea. We'll see. But so I'm okay with her so far. Her model was a complete bitch to put together. I hope for everyone else's sake that the not special edition one, you know, when the normal one comes out, it's not 9 pieces like she was. Her hair was 2 pieces. I mean, but it's a
beautiful sculpt. Yeah.
I mean. Oh, it totally is. It totally is.
I don't like her. No? I think she looks weird. I think she looks like... I don't like the way her position is with her arms back. And I don't know. I'm not a big fan of her. I think Tristan is the coolest one out of all of them.
You're just saying that because you play Menoff.
Well, I mean, yes, I'll give you that. I'm a little biased. I mean, I think my kids are the cutest kids, but, you know.
We'll see. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But still, he looks badass.
He does look kind of badass. Yeah, yeah. I know. It can't be worse than the Kator one, right?
Actually, you know what? He's not that bad. I take back what I was saying before.
Wait, look or rules?
Turns out if you put him with like a Devastator or something, he's not that bad.
We're just talking about looks.
Looks. He just has his arm out.
He's pulling like the Babe Ruth kind of thing. He's like, yep, you're next.
Mm-hmm. I made Billy's.
I'm not going to do anything, but you're next.
At Planet X at the Store Wars, I had Billy's poking his dog's butt on his board. And it was very funny. It was perfect level.
Let's see. I've also been playing Ayana and Holt.
Oh. To no one's surprise.
JP is not happy about this.
Well, no. Yes. Do I hate Ayana and Holt? Yes. They're the worst, especially as a Menoth player, because no one should be able to give you magical weapons. You should either have them inherently, or you should not have access to them in any way, shape, or form.
Rhett has it on most of their stuff anyways.
It doesn't matter.
Hey, Adam, do you hear that? I think I hear the Wambulance coming.
Oh,
Here, JP. Have some French fries.
I'm going to cut your throat out with a spoon.
You want some cheese with that wine?
Listen. It's bullshit. And the biggest part about it that's bullshit is that you complain all the time about the crutch merc models, and then you jump right into the pool and grab them.
Rhett can use, I don't know, it's like 7 total merc models.
But you use the ones that are crutch.
You know, just models. For that, I'm going to buy Iris too.
I bought her, so.
Yeah. Okay.
She's awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I have both. I've had both.
You know, and that makes no
sense. Iris was like one of the first.
That makes no sense
bought.
To me, too, for the Retribution hating. Human magic users so much. Oh, yeah, it's cool. Menoth can run Iris, too.
Yeah.
You can probably run Iris 1 also, right?
No, just 2. That's why she's infected. I just want the upkeep hate when I play a caster doesn't have it.
Gotcha. And I've been using Hyperion. I bought it 2 weeks ago, and absolutely fantastic. My only experience using a large base Colossal or Gargantuan before that was the Mountain King. So... I like having effective models. It's nice.
Mountain King's not as bad as you say.
It also went together a lot faster than the Mountain King. A lot less work modeling it. Painting's going faster, but then again, that's because I'm painting it like my Phoenix. It's kind of a Tron feel to it. I played with, actually, Ionna and Holt and Hyperion. You guys done over there? All right.
We just get bored of hearing you talk about
your painting. What? All right. I used Ionna and Holt and Hyperion in different lists, and we'll get to that in a few minutes, but I'm very happy with both of them. Mm-hmm. They're amazing models. JP, you are up.
So Tristan, who I love, he's just a redeemer battery, and that's it. But it's pretty cool to be able to specifically I'll use him with P7 and put Fortify on the Redeemer, and then on each side I'll put two Reckoners, and it gives me a wall of jacks that block line of sight and can't be knocked down as long as the upkeep is on there. And then it makes the Redeemer armor 19, and he can just feed it three focus every turn for him to drop those shots, which are pretty nice, especially with Eye of Menoth. Otherwise, I haven't really found any lists that I particularly love him in. Just the P7 list is the one I really like. Epic Iris I'm using now because fuck Rich. And I also have Gorman because fuck Rich. And
okay, Gorman, fuck Gorman. But you don't even really use Epic Iris against me.
She's in my
P7
list, too.
Oh, that's...
He needs the upkeep hate.
Yeah,
Gorman is in Harbinger's list.
Gorman can suck a fuck. I hate Gorman.
Gorman's so much fun.
I think he's wasted in your Harby list.
Why?
Why do you need a cloud?
It's not the cloud. Should... It's the blind.
Most of the time he's going to die, though. I mean, you can't Martyrdom to keep him alive.
No, but...
I just feel there's better in-faction things that you would be able to take and keep alive.
I feel like... See, I like him because I end up jamming so hard with everything else that he can hang back and it's not a problem because he's not in any kind of a threat. I don't play him as a frontline thing. Mm-hmm. And then when it gets to the point when I need to, I'll throw it into the back of the errands because they're at that point where they're, you know, useless. I throw it into their back. Don't have to worry about, like, deviating. And what I really want targeted is under the AOE. So... That's what I use him like.
I hate that model so much. I know. It's just this 2-point bullshit guy causes bastard. So much hell.
Turns out Ravagor's the answer.
Well, yeah, Ravagor is always the answer.
How? For what?
He ignores his spell. Yeah, you shoot him in the face.
He also ignores fire damage.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oversight.
Ravagor it up, buddy.
You know, you probably just saved him embarrassing himself at a tournament.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. I'm going to shoot Ravagor at it. It's fire and corrosion. Oh, good. Gorman's immune to fire and corrosion. Have a good one.
I don't
one.
Think he's immune to corrosion.
I think he is.
Yep. So that's it for me. And yeah.
Cool. Well, we're on to next segment. Recent games. We had a Vengeance release event at Niagara Hobby. That was actually Charles' last event, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the last event before he abandoned us.
Before Will took him.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Hungerford.
Yeah.
Just roping off our RPGs. It's all right, though. We got Adam now.
Yeah,
We like Adam better, so how do you like that?
We did the scenario with the boat.
I'm on a boat.
I don't know. It only took about
the picture
2 minutes before someone said, I'm on a boat.
Yeah, Lonely Island theme day.
As expected. What was it called? Without a Paddle or something?
Was it? Think.
The event?
Is that really what
or
it
the
was?
Scenario? I think it was something
Isn't
like that.
Isn't that
yeah.
really horrible movie with Seth Green?
I wouldn't even try to watch that. I don't know. I don't think anyone actually destroyed the boat during the course of the day.
No.
Oh, that was my primary objective. I had to work that weekend, so I didn't get to make it.
Let's see. I had a couple good games.
I coined Menoth.
Yeah, I coined Rhett. I actually came from behind. High court. I'm sorry. I was behind by about 5 points going into game 4, and it looked like a runaway, like he was going to take it, and I scored 8 points in game 4, I think, going in or coming out of that. Everything from beat an opponent who beat you earlier to max other points to all the optional weird stuff. I just took it home. So, nice. I got my Rhett coin. I'm happy.
Yep.
It was a good day, though. We had the guys out from Syracuse.
Yeah.
You know what's sad? The only faction point I have is for Cricks.
Really?
Yeah. It's the only faction coin I've got.
I'll name it off. Yeah, so the Vengeance event. Mm-hmm. That was fun. It was a lot of. It was real laid back, chill, just, you know. That's how it was fun. I played Amon that day, for crying out loud. That's how you know it's
interesting. Well,
yeah. It was a good time, though.
I had a game against Les. He played Bart and Galleon.
With Stemmy and...
Stymie.
No,
Stymie.
Yeah, no, Stymie wasn't the one. It's his Galleon. Stymie is his...
Earthbreaker.
He is Earthbreaker. So it was Galleon, but it was
I do like
crazy.
His posts with the pictures and sayings. That's very funny.
I think the Galleon has a name.
It does. I can't remember what the Galleon is. The Galleon's newer, though.
I think he may have something out for Matt Clark. He may
a little bit. Think so?
He may be calling him out a little
bit. I don't know why you would think that.
I feel like there's some subtle undertones with what he's saying.
I heard something got broken at a con, and
Matt was the culprit?
I guess. I don't know.
You know, typically Canadians have
For the real story, Les, you know, under the comments of this when we post it, just give it the real story.
Yeah, yep. That would be good. That would be good. I want to hear it. Yeah.
From what I heard, Matt Clark, in a fit of rage, threw his model across the room and said, "Yeah, motherfucker, Team Canada."
I don't believe that.
I heard Banky had to calm him down. And like,
no, I don't believe this because I don't think Canadians get angry. Honestly.
Well, they were playing. They were getting drunk. It was beer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, I guess that makes sense then.
Mm-hmm.
The other recent event, we had a 50-point steamroller at the Toy Trove in St. Catharines. Store owner Todd loves having us come play there, and it's always a welcoming atmosphere, and always have a great time. Eric, I don't remember his last name.
Sager.
Sager. Is not a PG, but he should be, because he's that good.
Yeah, he did a fantastic job.
Absolutely spot on with rules, spot on with organization, setting up scenarios. I couldn't ask for anything, you know, better.
If that was his first event that he's ever done, that was amazing.
Amazingly smooth. So, good time. We had 20 players, I believe. We condensed it to 4 rounds. We could have ran 5, but no one really wanted to stay for a fifth. Especially, we had some of the guys from Syracuse out there also. That's a huge haul. It's about 4 hours plus the bridge.
Yeah.
No, not fun. So, if you may have seen, I took second place.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'll go over my list real quick. I know Roger wanted to hear some of this stuff. First list was Ossian with... Oh, yeah, you hear that crippled system? It's not Ossian. It's Ossian. Ossian with Manticore and a Chimera. Nail, Mage Hunter Assassin, Narn, House Guard Thane. Full Mage Hunter Strike Force with the Commander. Full Halberdiers with the Officer and Standard. 2 units of Stormfall Archers and Ionan Holt. My second list was Raven with a Hyperion, a Mage Hunter Assassin, a Ghost Sniper, an Arcanist, and a House Guard Thane. Full Mage Hunter Strike Force with the Strike Force Commander. Full Mage Hunter Infiltrators with Iris 3. And House Guard Rifleman, full unit with Officer and Standard. My first game was against Robertson Grice, awesome son of the awesome Brent Grice. He was playing Sturgis, Crick Sturgis, which which is cool. I like Sturgis.
He's one of the newer ones I didn't really know about until I downloaded the...
His feet is the push everything 3 inches, right?
Directly towards him, I think.
And then everything within...
Yeah.
Yeah, and then everything within, I think it's 5 inches or 8 inches, or so, something along those lines takes...
Directly towards him within 3 inches, and then any models within 3 inches of him take POW 12 magic damage roll.
Wow.
And for each model destroyed, downed on arrival, you can allocate 1 focus to a Jack in his battle group.
That's not terrible.
No,
just the,
no.
I mean, the within 3 inches of him crap is not going to come into play very often. But moving things 3 inches towards you, that's pretty significant.
Especially when you're playing something with very low armor, like I was. I was a little concerned. He had Sturgis, a Night Wretch, a Ripjaw, Wraith Engine, Tartar Sauce, Captain Rengrave, I think that says. Yeah, Gorman, the Dick, Max Bane Thralls with Officer and Standard, Max Bane Knights, and Revenant Crew of the... I can't read the rest of that. Was an interesting game. I was a little paranoid because we really don't have practice against Cricks in Buffalo. I really wasn't sure what to do because I'm not experienced with it. I brought my Raven list because with the Rifleman, you can just activate the Thane, have him shut down stealth, and I shot a bunch of Bane Thralls off the table. Hyperion was going full tilt. It was a good game. I mean, there wasn't any stomping. Maybe a little, but it was a good game. And I won that one by assassination. Killed Sturgis with Infiltrators. Ran one in, and then the other one charged, so I get the gang bonus. 4d6 damage, that'll do it. Let's see here. Game 2.
Let me do my game 1.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
So my lists were Harvey and Pisevi, and my Harvey list was Harvey, and her battle group was a Devout. She had the Avatar Menoth, a Minimum Choir, Errants with the UA, Knights Exemplar, the Errant Seneschal, Rich's favorite model ever, Gorman, a Hierophant, Vilmon, Nicaea, two Paladins, Rupert, the Book, and a single Vassal. My other list was P. Severius, and in his list I had, in his battle group was Blessing of Vengeance, two Reckoners. I had a Minimum Choir, unit of Errants with the UA, Visgoth, Roven and Company, Epic Iris, Tristan, and in Tristan's battle group was a Redeemer, Rax, and two Vassals. And my first game was against Nick, Legion player over at Tortrove. You probably, if you watch miniwargaming.com's video battle reports, you'll probably see him in there. He was playing the fantastic Saren, who I love. And so, of course, I dropped Harby.
I didn't know you played Nick round one.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Nick's a good dude.
So I move up and feat, because that's what you do. And, you know, he was really afraid to move his beast up. He didn't want to take that POW 14 because Legion Beasts got that low armor. So he didn't really, he moved up a couple of models. I think he moved up Typhon and somebody else, but that was really it. So I got two rounds of movement, essentially. No, he did some movement shenanigans staying out of her control area, but that's the same thing as not moving, really, because she takes up half the board. so I was able to get to the zones, and the most important thing was I was able to get the paladins within contesting it area of the zones or the markers, flags, whatever it was. So basically established that he wouldn't be able to get them out of there with martyrdom. The game was... It was a long game of attrition. I was plinking his beasts. He was taking a few of my models off the table at a time. But his clock was running a lot more than mine was because my attacks weren't big and I wasn't taking a lot of them. So the end of the game was essentially, I did make a mistake, and I moved Harby out of free strike area, or I took a free strike on Harby by moving her out of engagement with a rake, not thinking it would be a big deal, and he rolled two box cars and a five, and I was like, oh, well, that's not cool.
Damn.
Yeah. And
quite the hit.
Yeah. And so then on his turn, he went to go roll dice to try and take Harby out when she was sitting on one box, and his timer went off, so... That was fun.
Nice.
He had some really bad flubbed rolls, which were awful. Like, he was trying to shoot Vilmon off the table with a spell. He needed, like, a four to hit and rolled a three. And I was like, oh, man.
Wow.
And he was like, oh, no, no. And he had to reassess and go back to the tank. And it messed with him a little bit. But, yeah, I won round one on timer.
My round two, I actually played the guy that JP played, Nick. He ran his other list, his Thagrosh list, Prophet of Everbite. That's P. Thagrosh, right?
Prophet,
yes. Prophet's P, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because
let's just
Epic,
say it is.
Epic is Messiah, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
He ran Succubus, Carnivian, Ravagor, Scythian, Naga, Shepherd, two Spell Martyrs, Max War Spears with the Chieftain, and Black Frost Shard.
Yeah, Messiah is the Epic version.
Yeah, that's right. I chose my Ossian list. I'm not really quite sure why I did.
So you didn't beat Pthags. Game on.
Yeah, I beat Nick that round.
Epic is Messiah.
Yeah,
prophet.
The Prophet.
Who'd you
did
play?
He have
Prophet or Messiah?
Prophet.
Yeah, he played Pthags.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think I just took it just so I could have the extra archers for more damage and all that. I thought the beasts were going to be a problem, especially if he could bring one back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was an interesting game. I ran Nail right at him, and he picked him up and threw him. So when he died, he was out of range.
Yep, I do that too.
So that was good.
Fucking Nail. He got me one game, and I didn't know what the hell to do.
I threw him. Rich tried that with me once, and I threw him too.
Yeah. I had 3 points for control, and I ran Ossian in there, and I was going to get the last two, but he parked the Naga just towing into the zone, and he brought back his other beast in the zone. So I had to kind of switch gears there, and it just, I could not get the Naga out of the damn zone. And looking back at it, what I should have done is I should have loaded up the Chimera with Fury and slammed the Naga. That would have got him out of the zone. That would have been it. So it took me an extra turn. I had to kiss a Lilith on the beast he brought back, got that off the out of the zone, and then eventually kill the Naga with some other stuff. But that was a long game. Manicor and Carnivian basically whiffed at each other and didn't do enough damage to do anything for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of strange. I've never seen the Manicor actually not die off the bat. So you're game two, JP.
Game two, I played the champion of the day, Dustin. It was some Menoth on Menoth action. And it was actually girl on girl because it was Harbinger. I was playing Harbinger, and he played Epic Fiora.
It's kind of hot.
Yeah, it was pretty hot.
Pun intended.
He had Judicator, a couple Reckoners, Zealots, Temple Flame Guard, and everything was going according to plan for me until I moved Gorman up, and he black oiled the Judicator, and I'm like, yes, I got him all game now. Except he was savvier than I anticipated, and he sacrificed his action to move the Judicator up a little bit, and then ancillary attacked with the Vassal. Destroyed Gorman. I was like,
well, punched him in the face.
Yeah, just splattered him all over the ground.
Good, he deserves it.
Yeah, I was like, oh, well, shit, that sucks.
He loosened that arm joint.
Yeah, he was,
fell on him.
Yeah, it was a sad day. He was like, oh, he's off the table. I'm like, oh, that's not helpful for me. After that, I was trying to block line of sight and force him to engage the Avatar with the Reckoners, and I was able to keep them out. But unfortunately, Harbinger, I moved her up a quarter of an inch too much, and he trampled with the Judicator and was able to take her out. I tend to just play my casters. I always feel like I'm safe, and I never move them up turn one. I never move them up turn two. And turn three, I'm like, okay, I'm good now. And I just move them up just a little bit, and it's always a little bit too much, and they're always getting killed. Mm-hmm. So ended up losing that one.
You would think playing me, you would have learned that by now.
What, because you play Retribution?
Because I assassinate your shit all the time.
Yeah, well, I don't do that anymore with you.
Wow.
And that's all the time is not really accurate.
How often do I win on points, honestly?
How often do you win?
Whoa! For those of you at home, we have actually we have a grudge match coming where JP and I are going to switch factions. I already made my Menoth list. I'm not talking to anyone about it because I don't want anyone to know or to tip them off.
Are we allowed to proxy? Because you don't really have
No, you have to use what I have. I'm using what you have.
Yeah, but I have twice as many models as you do.
Wah? What do you want to proxy?
Good stuff.
Just make rich
what,
buy it.
What good stuff do is there that I don't have?
I don't know.
You know what you do is you just say,
I started making my list.
Happy early birthday present. I bought this so I can use it.
I'll just show up.
And you won't expect it. It'll be
That's
built.
Fantastic.
At the game? Uh-huh. Just bring them?
Just going to show up to the game and say, here you go, JP. Happy Father's Day. Oh, you shouldn't have. Oh, look at that. It's already built and painted. Oh.
Hey. Yeah. Rich, welcome to the grudge match. Here's your new Epic Viros and four Griffins.
Yeah,
I'd be pretty happy if you bought me four Griffins. Yeah, I wouldn't complain if you bought me four Griffins. So yeah, stay tuned. I don't know when we're going to do that, but I think it'll be fun. Maybe we should make that an episode.
Well, we'll talk about it on the episode.
Yeah.
Can't do it live.
Mm-hmm.
Adam will be there to referee.
Yeah, yep. We can't do it like chain of text.
Brush up on my PG rulings and stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I haven't really ran events in a long time. I ran a lot back in Erie before I moved to Buffalo. So, I mean, I've got practices, just I haven't done it in a while. So,
well, we have high expectations of you.
I know.
So don't drop the ball.
Well, yeah, don't fuck up. My round three was against Adam Dunlap. I'm not kidding here. I was pretty paranoid once I heard the pairing. Adam's really good. He also plays Krix, which I'm not experienced against. I was not amused. I said, oh my god, this is going to go awful. I chose my Raven list because it can deal with stealth again. Beyond that, I just, here we go. He dropped his P. Denny list. Has Scarlock, a Night Wretch. He actually wrote Wrench. Death Ripper. Max Bane Thralls with an Officer and Standard, Max Boom Howlers, Max Nis Hunters, Wrong Eye and Snapshot, Gorman, is there any Krix in here? Master Gunner Dougal, pretty... and a Warwitch Siren.
A caster with Krix, you can pretty much say, I'm going to take this, and it works well.
Yeah.
Because she just debuffs everything so much.
He won the
poop polisher.
The poop polisher.
Yeah.
He won the die roll, went first. I tell you, I have never seen Nis move so fast and be threatening across the table. Boomhauers were up in my face. It was starting to not be good. My turn, I moved up, took out a couple of Boomhauers. Like, nothing entertaining, you know. Top of two, he moved Denny way up and then feeded. He caught... Raven in the feet.
Minus two focus
is pretty awful. I couldn't hit anything. He already had a crippling grasp on the Mage Hunter Strike Force, so they were moving 2 inches. That was fantastic.
Good. Fuck them.
I left snipe on them, but they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. It was just really not good.
Yeah, I can't wait to play P. Denny again.
Yeah, great. You know what?
God, I hate P. Denny.
He like, pretty much run that list.
I had the infiltrators up there, but under P. Denny's feet, they pretty much suck. One of them was engaged with Denny. I then activated the riflemen, formed them into a conga line, because there was a very small gap where they could shoot through, and they have ranked attacks. They also can combine into melee. And Adam didn't know that.
I mean, CRA.
Or, yeah, they can combine ranged attack into melee.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, the only unit in the game that can do that.
No.
There is another one?
Black 13 can.
Black 13 can.
I don't know if they can combine, but I know they can shoot into it.
And he didn't know that. And it's, you know, it is what it is. I mean, he learned. I took off half of, I had 7 of them combined into one shot. Took off half of Denny's damage. Shot a couple other ones to make room for the Hyperion to move up. Hyperion moved up. Shot the glitter gun at Denny. Scattered 1 inch, boosted damage. That was the end of the game.
Nice.
Sat around for about an hour and a half waiting for round four.
Hmm.
So, round four, JP.
Three.
Oh, wait. No, that was... Oh, wait, no, yeah, you're round three. Sorry. Yeah.
Round three, I played a newer player, Jason. He was playing... I think I got paired down. He had Epic Makeda. Mammoth, a Bronzeback, Malacarn, a Kreia, full unit Annihilators, min unit of Beast Handlers. I think that was it. He was definitely a newer player. He didn't know the interaction rules for a lot of things.
I think he's the part of that team, that last team we played at the team tournament when we went there.
Yeah, he was. He was.
I say that name rings a bell.
I cannot remember who his teammate was, but he was. I think that was the game he was using Malacarn for the first time.
Yeah,
and he was. Oh man, the smile on his face.
It was. You know, I played my piece heavy list, and you know, it was a fun game, but I was. It was a lot more relaxed because you know, I didn't have to go crazy. He had some fury management issues, but when all was said and done, he had moved Makeda up just a little bit too far, and I was able to shoot her off the table with the Redeemer and the Reckoners. He had camped two transfers, but he transferred, the only thing he had available to transfer on that turn was the Kreia, and you know, pow 16 Reckoner shots into Makeda is for a lot of damage. So he ended up killing the Kreia off in transfers, and then the Redeemer just shot her to death with a couple of boosted damage rolls, boosted attack, boosted damage. And yeah, that was it.
I wanted to comment, his painting is really good.
Yeah, I know.
He has stuff painted now?
Oh, yeah.
He has a Mammoth painted and Kreia.
Oh, yeah. After my game was over, I just came over to watch JP's game, and I said, "Did you paint all this?" And he said, "Yeah, this is all me." And I said, "Do you do commission work?" Mm-hmm. And he says, "I did for a while, but then I started hating my life." and I completely understand that. Yeah. But yeah, check out his stuff. His Mammoth is gorgeous. I mean, that's I was very impressed. My final game.
Three.
No.
Yep, we're on game three.
Three was my game against Adam.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my bad. Sorry.
This is why JP can't do too well. So I played on the finals table versus Dustin, who is an awesome, awesome player. Really good dude.
Real cool guy.
I mean, I know we've said this before. I cannot say enough good about the St. Catharines and just St. Catharines, Welland, Fort Erie, the whole area. You guys are awesome, and we love coming up there to play. He took his Fjordalist, which was Efior, Adjudicator Bonded, Double Reckoner, Double Vassal, Min Choir, Zealots, Max, the Monolith Bearer, Temple Flame Guard, and the UA. I took my Ossian list. In retrospect, probably should have taken the Raven list. What's kind of funny is my Ossian list is the list he was worried about. couple things of note. I ran up, and to his credit, he was not experienced playing Rhett at all. In fact, before the game started, I went through every unit and told him how, you know, what they do.
Well, you're welcome for playing Menoth.
Yeah, I know. He says to me, "Okay, you want me to go through mine?" I said, "No, I know what all your stuff does." I said, "I play JP all the time, and that's his main faction." I ran Narn and a Mage Hunter Assassin way up the side and took shelter behind a building. It was one of those things where he had to deal with it right then. If he didn't deal with it and kill both of them, and one of them, he got lucky, died on continuous fire during my turn, they were both within charge range of Fiora. That probably would have ended the game. Hmm. But he took out both of them. I always forget Fiora has a flamethrower.
Yeah.
10-inch. Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah, I played pretty far back, so you won't see that very often.
Yeah. It was a long game. I think we were the last ones done.
Second to last table.
Second to last table done. Of note, I took out the Judicator with six Halberdiers on the charge under their mini feet. And then it had like five boxes left, and I shot it with two Mage Hunter Strike Force. So that was fun. Besides that, it was a very long, grueling game.
Yeah, when I came over, you had...
I think I had Ossian on the table, and that was it.
Yeah, Ossian, that was it.
That sounds like my evil, I guess.
He had his Temple Flame Guard and Reckoner.
Two. No, he had both Reckoners.
Oh, yeah, the other one I threw, that was right. And he had a couple other odds and ends.
Yeah, but you were contesting the zone.
Yeah,
at the end of your turn, if you did not assassinate, he won on scenario.
So I pushed up Ossian and tried to do some work. Ossian doesn't do too much.
yeah, well, she's tough because she's, you know, you have nothing to strip up keeps, and escort gives her plus two armor. You know what I mean?
She was sitting behind a wall, and
Yeah, she's tough.
So I, you know, after that, I conceded, shook his hand. Absolutely fantastic game. And you could tell it was a long day. We're both starting to get a little weary, and, you know. We had the presentation of the trophies. I wanted to say, and I forgot to say this before, that was the first time I've ever won a trophy in an individual thing in my life. So I was pretty happy about
that. It's going on the mantle.
No, it's actually on my desk at work. Because I spend more time looking there than I do at home.
Yeah.
What do they say at work? Like, what's that for?
Actually, no one's been over my desk that's noticed it.
Oh.
But I'm just waiting for it. One of these days, someone's going to see it.
Every time I mention my tabletop miniature game, I get rounds of laughter at work. So.
Rounds of laughter.
It is. Everybody's like, ah, what?
I talk about it. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I talk about it too. I don't care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So coming up, we have...
Well, he's going to do his.
He was there. Oh, yeah, that's right. You were at X-Planet.
I went to X-Planet for Star Wars with five guys from Buffalo. We did fairly well. Billy, Alex,
not
Paul.
The burger place, right?
Huh?
Not the burger place.
Five no.
I love Five Guys.
Yeah.
In fact, I always say that at work just to piss off my coworkers. We're talking about what we're going to get for lunch. I say, I want to have Five Guys in my mouth right now. And they don't even know what to do.
That's funny.
Because I just hand it to them. They just don't know.
They don't get that you're not talking about the burger place.
No, they did. Never mind. All right, go ahead. Talk about your game.
So anyways, round one, it was against a tier 4, I believe, Doomshaper list.
P or E?
It's...
Runes of War.
Yeah, it's okay. The epic. So, with the scouts. Yeah.
Okay.
It turns out they are in your face turn one. Yeah. They were like 7-8 inches out of my deployment.
His whole force?
Like his skinners and everything coming up behind. So
he was using skinners?
Yeah, two units of them.
Wait, no. You have a mistake then. Skinners are the solos.
Oh, sorry. He had one skinner, but two scouts. It's the scouts.
He had skinner in the list?
Yeah.
Wow.
The skinner actually did a lot of damage. It tied up a couple of my beasts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so... Attrition-wise, I was winning. I took out a ton of the Skinners. Pummeled. I killed his Earthborn skinners. And whatnot.
Yeah, they're Scouts.
Not Skinners.
Yeah, I keep getting them mixed up. But so I ended up losing to a goaded Primal Earth or something.
Earthborn.
No, it wasn't Earthborn. It was a spell. Primal Shock.
Oh, Primal Shock, yeah.
Gives him an additional to hit on Mulg, and Mulg charges 12 and then goaded over to Thagarash.
Interesting fact I learned the hallway about Primal Shock. Spell Ward.
I forgot about this. Go ahead.
Spell Ward does not protect you from Primal Shock because it is not a spell that your caster is being targeted by. It is a quote-unquote magical attack. You actually target the beast.
Mm-hmm.
And then shoot a magical attack at the caster. So Peace Heavy is not immune to that.
Yeah.
Fun fact I learned the hard way.
So anyways, he ended up having to kill Thagarash on the free feed attack because he did not manage to kill me. Because I had enough to transfer it off. It was close. Game two was against COC, Father Lucien, and my Evail list.
Wait, what is it? Against who?
Father Lucien.
No, what's the faction?
COC.
What's that?
I think he's trying to say cock.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
But anyways, he played a super bricky list with Father Lucien. Three of their heavies. It's one of my first games against them, so not too familiar with a lot of their names. Let me pull that up real quick. Give you names. So he had three jacks, two servitors, the reciprocators, and three of the
Optiflex.
Angels.
Yeah, the Optiflex, and two of the Clockwork Angels in the list. I shot the Clockwork Angels pretty much off the table. They put a little bit of damage into my one angel. His turn one,
because I can run up to under the eval list. I get plus 2 speed, and they're speed 7, so they're 9. So I can run 18 inches across the table if I wanted.
Those are fast and jealous.
Yeah. Anyways, long story short, I had Lilith left and a Vale. Spell Martyr. Or I had Vale, a Spell Martyr, the pot. Left, and
what's
he death clocked himself.
What's the pot do when the pot just sits there without
apparently
anyone?
It still collects all the corpses from all my dying shit and still poops out a popper every
really?
Turn. Yeah.
But all he had left was 2 models.
But it's stationary.
Yeah.
Oh, can't move with nobody in the unit?
Well, the unit was still alive right. until the very end. But he ended up shooting it, and the pot took no damage, but it killed most of its unit.
Oh, no, what I'm asking is, if there's no lunch ladies left, can the pot still move itself?
I was only able to move an inch because I had one lunch lady left.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, it was pretty funny. But like I said, it kind of sucked to have the game come down to that for him because right. he had ended up with like 45 seconds on the clock charging Father Lucian into Vale and rolled boosted, hit, knocked her down. And then went to roll damage, but because it's death clock, he didn't drop the dice, and it clocked. And because he didn't drop the dice, he didn't get the final roll.
Oh.
So it's like a taboo win for me.
Yeah, that's...
The feat is really hard to deal with, especially with... I didn't have a lot of armor cracking in the Vale lists, but I was more comfortable playing that list. That's why I took it versus them.
I don't feel like it's a taboo win, though. I mean, you are just as susceptible of clocking yourself as the other person is.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like you should ever feel bad about that. They, you know what I mean? That player failed to do it in the amount of time he was allowed to do
it. I guess the why I say it's a taboo is because I only had 3 models on the table, and he had pretty much his army.
Yeah, but
so
still, he also had no time left.
It's also, yeah. It's one of those things you just have to get good at. It's it's part of the game. Yeah. I mean, and it's, you know what it is?
Part of the tournament scene.
It's not as fulfilling.
Yeah, right. Player, like I even said, like as soon as this clock went off, I'm like, you have me dead to rights. You,
yeah.
You totally deserve that win.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think it takes away from anything.
Yeah. No. It's, instead of you winning because of something you did, you're winning because something your opponent didn't do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, because you did stay within your clock time.
Mm-hmm.
You did,
true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He may have failed to do that, but it's no different than you were able to protect your caster. He was not.
When we were talking pre-gaming, he lost a lot of time with their focus manipulation, you know.
Yeah.
So as the jacks were doing stuff, you'd have to take the focus and flip it to another one and then check the range and then flip it to another one. So, I mean, that chewed up a lot of his time.
Yeah. Was he real jack heavy?
Yeah. Like I said, he had the 3 heavies and then 2 of the servitors. The... conservator he had and the corollary.
Yeah, well, that thing's awesome.
Yeah, so game 3 I played Evale again. I won against the person who was in first place for the Star Wars playing P Butcher.
Wow.
Yeah, he ended up bringing Butcher a little bit too close, and I put 2 rounds of shooting right into him. The way the deployment was on the table we were at, it had a wall kind of like skating that it was a kill box. So he boxed himself out of the one side where my 2 angels were threatening him for the next turn. He couldn't kill him. So he ended up running Butcher around the obstacle to the other side. So I just repulsored, moved, and then shot him. So, and I was able to put enough shots into him to kill him. So that was a good game. And then game 4 was against P. Haley, and I played P. Thags against that.
Excuse me, I have to go throw up. I'll be back.
Yeah.
I got picked apart. Or I played Evale again because I had met my requirements. So
can't run a charge every turn.
His turn
every
1.
Every turn.
My Hellion got shot off because he had gun mages with 2 hunters attached. So they walked up, took snipe, and... each plinked it for 5 damage, which killed it. And it was just a downhill slide from there. On hindsight, I did light P. Haley on fire turn my first turn, and she was running from being lit on fire. I kept just hitting her with stuff, But what ended up being the game changer was he had two focus on her, which I completely forgot she had Arcane Vortex. Nullify two obliterations. I got her down to 6 boxes twice. Yeah. And I rolled for my final fire damage on her. I rolled a 10, needing an 11 to kill her. So even still, like, I still almost got her.
Yeah.
But so I ended up going 2-2. The best one out of the group that went was Derek Columbus, who went, I think, 3-1.
Really?
Yeah. He actually had a grudge. I don't know. I want to say a grudge match, but there's a Crix player there that had a hard time with his Maelok list, where they go up in Corporeal, and then so he has to deal with two waves of Gators. But Derek ended up clocking himself in this game, and he was super frustrated. Like, so,
Derek, we got to play practice on the clock games.
Yeah,
that's coming.
Well, no, on his defense, the Crix player had like 70 small base infantry.
Ugh.
He had 2 units of Raiders full. I think 2 units of Bane Thralls full. Yeah. Ton of infantry. And it was, I think, P. Denny.
Of course it was.
Yeah.
She's a bitch.
She is a bitch.
So, but, you know, he was doing well. It's just, like I said, he just ended up running out of time. Because there's just so much to chew through. And he didn't have much left on the table either. So.
Good games all around.
Yeah.
That was, I think, Buffalo's biggest push into Canada yet. Mm-hmm.
We don't have any actual tournaments in Buffalo, so
I know, right?
I'm working on that.
That's going to change with Adam at the helm here.
I gotta figure out what stores can support how many, you know, people, and then unfortunately, there's going to be caps until either Dark Force moves and gets more table space, or Niagara Hobby creates more table space. So
yeah. So coming up, we have the Southern Ontario Open, which is a Masters format tournament. It's whatever they call a VFW in Canada. It might be a call of VFW. Black Knight Games and the RCWA are putting that on. I'm really excited. Myself and a couple others are heading up there for that. And it's my first Masters, so we'll see.
Well, now you've coined, so the expectations are that you will do well.
Oh, okay.
And you're playing Retribution. Which
he's playing Point Click Casters, let's be honest.
Wow. You're an asshole.
It's Raven.
And Ossian.
No, cool. Just tell everyone when I'm running.
Like, there's a huge question.
Don't you only own 3 right? casters?
I own all the casters except for Eviros.
I've only seen you play 3.
Well, yeah, because the other ones, well, you know. You ever run Gareth? You want to know what happens when you run Gareth?
He only played Kalissa the first like week that he owned Rex.
I can't stand her.
Except now she's good again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's talk about the tier for a minute.
It's good.
Last week, there was in case you missed it, the internets were set ablaze.
Hold on. If they're listening to this podcast and they missed what happened with that tier list, they obviously like somehow got to our website by accident and don't realize what this podcast is about.
No, you know what it is. It's if you are listening to this podcast and you don't know about the Kalissa tier leak and what happened, you probably don't play War Machine and you're my wife. And you're listening to it because you think it's fun. Hi, hon. When the thing leaked, I was talking to some people and I said, wow, this seems interesting. And I'm looking at it. And the first thing I think of is focus it stays on. Well, time to bring out a Hydra. Apparently they were calling the list Hail Hydra on the privateer press forums.
Yep.
Turn 1, you can do ridiculous nonsense like throw a PAL 27 ranged attack 27 inches, ignore line of sight. I don't know.
It was broken. It was bullshit.
And I will never say it wasn't. PAL 2 and the Hydra, for those of you who don't know about Retribution, the Hydra's unique shtick is that it doesn't lose focus. It stays on it.
And it gets +1/+1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gets +1 range +1 and then +1 POW. So you can just keep stocking this thing up more and more and more and more until you can, you know, Death Star a planet, and it's ridiculous.
No, you can't go above 3.
We could shoot Matt Clark's army off from Buffalo.
No, that's how they revised it.
No, that's how the Hydra works. Right? You can't allocate more than 3.
Well, yeah, it's like a normal Jack. Much, yeah. But that's how it was written, why they had to change it, because the Arcanist was written...
Multiplier.
Was written as... Force Multiplier was written as gain,
right.
Yeah. Not allocate.
The rule you're looking for is kinetic capacitor. So
Flux capacitor.
Yeah, it doesn't lose any focus it maintains.
Okay.
So it can still only be allocated up to its three.
Gotcha.
But anything that it's gained above that, it doesn't lose.
So they stripped the ridiculously overpowered portion of the theme list out.
Yeah, and it rightfully so.
So let's talk about the theme list.
Now they changed the Arcanist. So Force Multiplier is
allocate.
If it has one, you allocate one.
Okay.
Which is more akin, it's closer to a regular Arcanist.
So now the tier list. On turn one, your opponent cannot run or charge. So their options are advance or do nothing. Right?
Which is pretty amazing.
That is fucking fantastic for Retribution, who is a fast army.
Yeah, right? Actually, if they can't...
On turn two, let's say you have two Hydras, right?
Okay, yeah.
And you get two free Arcanists, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Kalissa gives them one each on turn one. They run. No, I guess you'd have to give them two so they could run. So she gives them two each. They run. The Arcanist moves up. And each of them, they give it to what the Jacks within 5 inches, right? All Jacks.
No, it's single Jack.
It's a single Jack?
Yep.
Oh. Well, that's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, still. You basically, there. You could get the Hydra up to focus, three focus total on turn two, where Kalissa only has to spend one each on turn two for the Jacks. And they are now shooting 15 inches from, they move six, right? So they move up 12 from whatever deployment line you're at, first or second, and they move another 6, so 18 and 15, you're looking at 33 inches. That's huge, dude. And your opponent could only advance on turn one.
You know what? I take back that I said it sucks. It's good.
Yeah,
it's good. Decent, at least. The thing is that, I don't know if you guys have noticed, the rest of the Retribution tiers... With the exception of Evirus Griffin Spam, which is kind of ridiculous. I really don't ever want to play that. The rest of the Retribution tiers are terrible. Absolutely awful. Like, I don't even consider bringing the stuff. It's just... But this way, if you think about it, I think it also can guarantee you the alpha. Because they can't... If you go first, they move up their walking distance. And then I'm going to have stuff that can hit them.
Can you take Strike Force in it?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I don't think you can.
It's not on War Room yet.
Oh, it's not.
No, I have the picture downloaded.
You would.
Well, of course I would. I mean, I thought it was going to go away.
Did you
know,
like, probably made it your background.
If you have not gone on to Buffalo War Machine on Facebook and saw the thread, like the giant boner that Rich instantly sprouted from that thing, and he's like, I'm going to shoot you in your deployment zone! And then it was crushed. Rightly so.
We all knew it was gone.
Like, no, everyone knew. I mean, it.
I wasn't.
It's
even
still fun to run with it, though.
My big thing is the tier three, no running and charging. That's fucked. That is fucked up for a tier bonus.
It is kind of fucked ridiculous. Up. Yeah. The only units that can bring are house shield units. That's right. The only house shield unit right now are mittens. Mm-hmm. There are no other ones. Hmm. So that kind of blows.
No, you just push your Hydras up further.
Yeah, that's true.
Give them bigger threat.
Push, 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 shoot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's fun. All right, let's see.
Why are you giving all this tech away, Adam?
Sorry, I see it.
Watch out, SOO. That's what Rich is going to be doing.
We got... No, I'm not going to be playing Mittens at the Southern Ontario Open. Rest assured, I will not be. Suggestion Box is up next. This suggestion comes from Les, and this is fantastic. If you go to http://sr20x.com, there is a random steamroller mission generator for people that have trouble picking the scenario with the dice, like JP. You can just click this site.
Is it a D3 or is it a D6? Wait, is it row one? No, so it's a D3, then a D6, then it's a D3. So let's just play Incursion.
I know, right? If you click on that website, and we'll post it with the podcast, it gives you a random scenario every time.
Really?
And you don't even have to do anything. Yeah. It's cool. The greatest thing. That's made by Zach Glick, one of those Team Spike guys out of Syracuse. You can also drop down the scenario of your choice. Fantastic. I mean, smartphones can handle it too.
So he created an entire website just to give you a number between 1 and 12?
Hey. You should be thankful, damn it. Adam, you got any suggestions for the box?
No.
Okay. JP?
Nothing.
All right.
I have no
Now we're on
either.
To... question and answer.
Tuesday flippity boop.
Yeah, flippity flip.
Flippity boop.
Yeah, Menoth John, I'd love to hear that. Flippity bloop.
This is actually kind of cool.
The hell does that
mean?
I was trying to
get the link to work. I accidentally typed
I know, it's
J.
cool,
yeah,
isn't it? Yeah.
That's good. Really good.
And it gives you the scenario.
Yeah, it gives you the whole thing, like
the
page.
That's pretty sweet.
Actually, Menoth John, if you are listening, we got to talk about your time in Buffalo. I'm kind of interested in that.
That is awesome, man.
Menoth John listens to this
podcast. He's not going to fucking listen to this. Yeah.
I'd be so excited if he did, though.
All right, so let's go. We'll go around in a circle here. All right, question one comes from Matt Fritton. Oh, I can't ask a non-War Machine question? Okay, what pisses you off more than anything on and off the table?
Are we talking about on and off the table in relation to War Machine?
I think he kind of left that open interpretation.
Okay. Mine would be gloating, I guess.
Off the table?
Both. I mean,
just in regular.
You've got people who like sometimes play. Like you. There's always some like when you go to conventions and stuff that like trash talk while you play, and it's never fun to like play somebody that does that. And then like it kind of sucks like when you're traveling and you hear like people come together and like, oh yeah, they just like trash talk. I guess it just doesn't seem like a good thing to do in general. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give you that definitely. What about on the table?
On the table? I got nothing. Timers. That's my big beef.
JP?
Off the table. I think the corporate greed in American culture is probably what pisses me off the most. Off the table.
Deep thoughts with JP.
And on the table, it's bullshit that can fucking shoot through buildings.
It's Gorman.
Doesn't need line of sight to things. That pisses me off more than anything in the fucking world.
I thought it was Gorman.
I cannot stand Mage Hunter Strike Force. They're the stupidest goddamn unit in the fucking game.
Tell us how you really feel.
It is absolutely absurd that they can hide behind a freaking building and shoot my caster over a wall and ignore all his buffs. I hate it. I hate it so. Steam is coming out of my ears.
Jason summed it up for that Scorn player you talked about earlier when we first played him, and it was his first time seeing Rhett. He's like, "Wait, you know, you can't see me. No, they shoot through buildings. What? Isn't that cheating?"
No. He said, "How does that work?"
Yeah,
I said, "I don't really know how it works. It just does." What pisses me off on the table? Oh, man. I don't even know where to begin. Gorman, that nameless pole dancing fucking whore for Signar.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
For those who didn't
I don't think she's that bad.
I mean, granted, now I have a Hyperion, but what the hell is a Signar?
Speaking of E-Haley,
I
have to give kudos to Derek. First time ever playing her, beat her with his Gators.
Oh, right.
Wow.
Never played Signar again. He got dropped against
That's
E-Haley
awesome.
And won.
Very good job.
Wow.
Yeah. So
fantastic.
We were all impressed.
She can be a real son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Off the table, like Adam said, gloating. But I haven't really experienced it that much.
Not in ours. Like I said, it's just something I've seen traveling wise.
We're pretty awesome. Yeah. I really
we're pretty awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, we are kind of awesome.
We have a great group of guys. You know with
what,
all the
what
metas
really,
that we've blended.
You know what really pisses me off? Hipsters. Oh man, I just want to fucking strangle them. All of them. All right,
hipsters that just recently bought Aeon and Halt and started playing them.
Wait a minute.
Now I can't say anything because if I can't say I was playing them before it was cool because then I'm a hipster. Yep. next question comes from Derek Columbus. Speak of the devil, he says, "When will the next Buffalo tournament be held?"
What a good question for Adam, our privateer.
Yeah, I got to meet and try to talk with Ryan. It's probably going to have to be held at Dark Forest because Niagara Hobby just doesn't have the table space. Last time I was there, they only have 6 tables. I think Dark Forest can run up to 9 tables, so that'll give us 18 guys. But I want to stop in and try to get something on the books for next month.
So that's my hope. I'm also going to try to get a league into, you know, set up.
Do yourself a favor when you walk in. Go to Wizards of the West Coast website and find out what their release schedule is for Magic the Gathering so that you can schedule it appropriately.
Yeah, don't pick a Magic release day. That'd be bad.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's his major seller, so.
You just reminded me, I missed something from earlier. Myself and Dustin are setting up a Can-Am tournament. It's probably going to be at the Toy Trove. We're going to have Team America versus Team Canada.
I'm afraid that this is going to put a rift between us.
Not at all, because it's going to be ridiculous. That's why.
All right.
They're going to stop us at the border.
Yeah, I know, right?
Matt Clark makes a call.
I know, right? Stuck there. Look, there's a team of nerds. They're coming now.
Isn't Robert from up there?
We win by forfeit, filthy Americans.
Yeah, right. We're thinking about doing like 7-8 people on a team and ranking by skill level. And then they play each other like in groups kind of thing.
See, I'm curious to see how you're going to come up with a skill level.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Like, you'd almost have to do like a prelim tournament to figure out placing.
Oh, no, we'll probably just make a list, and if anyone bitches, then they get moved up.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
If you complain about who your opponent is?
Yeah, then you get moved up. But we'll see. So that's coming, folks. Stay tuned. If you're listening to this in Buffalo and you don't have an e-license or a passport, go get one.
Please, for the love of God.
Come with us. We have a great time.
Yeah, I think it's only like $50 to get your e-license.
Yeah, the enhanced license is $50.
That was my tablet. I didn't know it makes noise. Huh.
And you call yourself an IT guy.
You know what? Go fix a respirator or something. Next question comes from Les. What beer pairs best with poutine? That's the one Matt Clark is going to buy me.
Ooh.
Being a very salty, kind of fatty food, I would agree with actually Charles Phillips' comments. I like a nice hoppy IPA to cut through the richness of the cheese curd. I think Charles is right on that. I think an IPA would go very well. Mm-hmm. Osthaus probably has something good.
I didn't say Ost is the place that Potts, Dave, brought from us for the winter. He came down
to the podcast. Yep. They seem like they have a lot of good beers.
They'd be good. So, Les, hopefully Matt will be buying you a beer. But we'll see.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Next up, question from Paul Bartlett. What should Billy Nichols bring the Canadians if he is the only American in their Star Wars Invitational?
Bacon.
Does he mean, like, as a gift? Like a token of gratitude or like
I think it's something that like American faction? Like that says America. I think
he should just have them hang an American flag in their store.
I don't think they
like
do
when
it.
We were going up to the Planet X, they were joking around with like getting stickers that said America fuck yeah and like every handed out to people he plays.
You know, I saw there's these t-shirts or not t-shirts, they're beaters that just say USA fuck yeah.
I think it's the same concept, just in a sticker form.
For those who don't know, a beater is a tank top.
Yeah. I wonder if I could wear that at the Southern Ontario Open and not get kicked out.
You know what that USA symbol is from, right?
No.
USA basketball.
Oh, I'm not wearing it then.
Why?
We don't watch basketball in Western New York.
It's the best sport there is.
It's the lamest sport there is.
Get out of here. Hockey's the lamest sport there is.
They're racist.
Everyone, that was JP that said that.
Hockey fucking sucks. It's boring and stupid.
You have just been kicked off this podcast. Bill said I have to make it first, by the way.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Charles Phillips says, I'll post my request here as well. How do you approach choosing list pairings for a tournament? And Dustin also said, list pairings for me as well, and dealing with Trollkin Warders, they are rough. So list pairings. This is kind of a deep topic.
Yeah, the quickest way I can sum it up is you want to have two lists, one that answers questions for your one list that your other one can't. And then also, you want to be able to cover different things as far as pairing. So you want to be able to deal with stealth, magic, you know, high defense, high armor, mass infantry swarm, you know, heavy swarm. And then also at the same time, you want your list to cause them questions. So you want them to be like, how am I going to deal with this? I think those are the things you're looking for when you go for list pairings.
I tend to go down that route for the most part in like having each list either be able to answer the question that's going to be asked to me, but at the same time, I typically will have one that's a little more skewed that I can drop on people mm-hmm. that will
catch them off guard.
And the other one, while still being able to answer questions, is a little more balanced and yeah. can do, you know, a little bit more down middle of the mm-hmm. road type thing, so that I'm not like solely dependent on this and solely dependent on that. And it's like, oh, well, one aspect of this list can handle mm-hmm. that, and one aspect of this list can handle the other one. Whereas if the way I do it, if I come into that situation, I go, okay, well, I'm just going to go with the skew list because yeah. that's still going to ask them a question they can't answer.
Mm-hmm.
I do it somewhat similarly. I kind of have a mental list of what I need to be able to deal with. Usually it's high defense, high armor, stealth, and, you know, a lot of infantry, yeah. I guess. Because mine, the high armor is, you know, I can deal with the heavies like that.
Mine's generally how do I deal with a Colossal?
Right, yeah.
How do I deal with high def infantry swarm?
Because what you know. I mean, dealing with a Colossal, it's going to be the same way you deal with a couple of heavies. It's the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed Colossals aren't as prevalent now, nearly. Yeah,
they've dropped off the not dropped yeah. off the map. But
it's gone down hugely.
In the last, like, 6 months, a lot, yeah.
So, basically, you have to take those concepts and then divide them equally, or almost equally, between your lists. Mm-hmm. Or you can do the Keith Christensen method and just bring one bullshit list and then have all your all-stars in the other list.
Yeah.
It
also depends on your meta.
I mean, of course.
You want to do this according to your meta. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I think is a little bit tougher for us because we tend to
travel a lot. So, I don't remember the Canadian player's name who's going overseas to, I think, Finland or somewhere to play in a high level tournament.
The WTC.
Yeah. They actually approached Billy because we play so much differently, like with our meta, to like help him practice. Because the way we play down here is so much differently than how they do up there.
Right.
Yeah. Team Canada, we're going to be rooting for you in WTC because we know a lot of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to root for the U.S. too.
Well, of course I'll root for the U.S. But
if it's the U.S. or Canada, I'm good with either one of those.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the guys I listen to on podcasts all the time need any extra encouragement for doing well. we had one...
Oh, he had a second part of it, which was dealing
with warders. How do you deal with Trollkin warders?
So, Charles actually had asked me that question recently too, and you don't. You either do one of two things. You figure out a way that you can avoid them because they're slow with reach, and then they have one attack, or you jam them up because
they're gonna jam them.
They are so difficult to get off the table. If that is your goal, you are going to pour so much of your resources into it. And they're just going to tough out of it. And it just makes it...
They're kind of like bastions. They're just like... They're so hard to kill.
Yep.
It's like taking down a jack, except that spans across the board.
Yep.
And you know what? If you're playing against them being run by Borka and they're iron fleshed, don't even try.
Yeah.
Just shove crap onto them to bog them down, and they won't get out of it. I mean, they're only swinging once a turn. Maybe, you know, Imadrek's feet, they're swinging again at a couple other things. But they're going to sit there.
Yep.
You know, I love using them. I have two units of them. With E-Grizzle, they're a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just throw random stuff at them. Actually, I don't think I've played them. No, I played one game with Rhett against them, and Paul had them. They're no joke.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially when you have a stone giving them, and then they get unyielding when they're damaged.
They get up to arm 21.
And if you, is it Kalisandra? She gives them the armor bonus, too?
Oh, no. Thinking Calandra. It's, no, E-Grizzle under her feet gives them unyielding.
Yeah.
So they get up to 23.
Yeah. It's hard to deal with them.
Oh, man, maybe there's a wall in the earth. That's why Animus is on them. Now they're arm 25.
Just stick something on them that will be able to, like... You have to determine what you have in your list
Light
that you're willing
fire.
To sacrifice that they are going to spend. You know, as long as your point investment is better than their point investment. They're, what, an 8-point unit?
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to, like, for me, typically I'll throw errands at them and put them in a position where I can self-sack other errands to keep them engaged, or if the warders choose, or if the opponent chooses to move the warders out of combat, he has weapon master attacks to deal with. They're no longer going to be getting that bonus for being base to base because of the movement.
No, they don't have the base to base thing.
What do they
have? That's champs, you're thinking.
Don't they get the... Oh, that's what they take damage.
Yeah, they get battle
driven. That's right. But still, they only have the one attack, so I'll put errants on them, and if they take a free strike, it's still going to be pretty nasty. But only, move half of an errant unit in there, and then take the shots of the other half of the unit, and on the next turn, move the rest of the half of the unit in there, and you've clogged them up for two turns, and they're not getting those weapon master attacks anywhere because they have to deal with what's in front of them. Or your opponent is committing more beasts over to where you have those units, and he's isolating other aspects of his list and opening up more threat ranges into his caster, and I just jam them up and say, stop my opponent from being able to use them.
Or, what JP did to me once.
This is very specific.
Very situational, but I was moving him on up the table.
It's very situational. It's one caster.
It's one caster, but he pulled out Isevi. And most people think when... What's the thing called?
Influence, probably.
Influence?
Which one?
Did he take control of him?
Take control.
Yeah. Usually people think pretty one-dimensionally about it, and they just think they should smack each other or combine on... I'll hammer on something else that's a little bit tougher. No. What did JP do? He didn't just do that and maybe take out one. What does he do? He turns them all and has them run in opposite directions. And they are then completely useless.
Yeah.
I tell you, I've never seen better use of that. Because they're only speed 4. They're useless rest of the game.
Yeah, then they're all out of formation. Rich is like, what the hell? And yeah, he's like, they're mine now? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, but they're all out of formation. He's just like, oh my God.
Yeah, that was pretty terrible. Last question comes from Brian Knapp, who I believe is a Rochester guy. Is it weird if my dog likes watching me pee? My cats like watching me pee, so I don't think it's that weird.
I don't know.
No comment.
Does Bud come with you in the bathroom?
I don't let him.
Does he? So he tries to, is what you're saying.
He just... Basset hounds have anxiety, so they just don't like to be left alone, so...
My dog's dead. I don't know.
Wow. That's great. How about your cat? You have a cat.
Way to hurt his feelings, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
My dog is dead. No, my cat doesn't watch me pee. She just gets mad when I don't give her my food.
Actually, you have kids. Your kids probably barge into the bathroom.
That is completely true. I'm like, Daddy, what are you doing? I'm taking a fat shit. What do you want?
It smells like burning. Yeah. I bet it does. All right, folks. I think that about wraps it up. That was episode 3 of Beer Machine. If you happen to be at the Southern Ontario Open, come over and say hi. Unless I'm in the middle of a game, in which case, leave me the fuck alone until my game's over.
Wow.
Really? No, I'm kidding. I don't care. Come over and say hi.
You see dice in my fucking hand, asshole?
NBC Aeon and Halt on the table, make sure to call him a hipster.
Yeah. After that, we're going to have the Can-Am thing going. Come over and say hi. Myself and a couple other Buffalo guys, not my co-host, but a couple other Buffalo guys will be at Gen Con. Come over and say hi to that. I'm probably going to be playing in Hardcore. And I'm fucking glutton for punishment. Hardcore in Iron Arena. So we will see you there. Until then, take care.
Bye.
Later, guys.
plus four armor to everything.
That's not him, is it? I thought his was minus two speed, minus two strength. Oh, no, that's Axios.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm still trying to learn them.
Test our mic levels and stuff.
You betcha. Want to move yours a little bit closer? There we go. Adam, you too.
Microphone check, 1, 2, what is this?
It's a microphone.
Oh. Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at?
Shut up. No. You alright over there?
Enough sucks. It really, really sucks. Thank you.
I'm Toad's gonna...
Don't you dare fucking say that again.
Toad's.
I'm Toad's gonna use the word Toad's on the podcast.
Anyone know where that started?
I have no idea where it came
sister
from.
Says it, and it makes me laugh because she's 30-something and says Toad's. I'm like, you're not 12. You don't do that.
Why Toad's?
Toad's. It's Toad's cool.
What's totes, though? I don't get it.
It's short for totally.
Oh.
Like, adorbs is short for adorable.